Victory in Gaza will take time. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu just said that on day 10 of the war against Hamas terrorists in Gaza.
And as the world unified in order to destroy, to win over ISIS and Nazism, so it must unify in order to destroy Hamas.
1,400 Israelis have been killed, along with more than 2,700 Palestinians inside Gaza, where Israel keeps bombing Hamas targets. Food and fuel and medicines in low supply there. Hundreds of thousands of civilians in shelters, while Hamas holds 199 Israelis and others hostage. Fox's Trey Yingst on the Gaza border reports along the northern border with Lebanon.
The Israelis are calling on all residents near the border to shelter in place, lock all doors and windows. Likely, they're worried about an infiltration attempt from Lebanon. We're also learning just a few moments ago that the Israelis are shelling southern Lebanon.
Now, Hezbollah is backed by Iran. President Biden has warned it not to get involved in this conflict.
The Pentagon announcing a second battleship and fighter jets will be heading to the eastern Mediterranean Sea as the fighting in Gaza continues. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin says they are not meant to be involved in any fighting between Israel and Hamas. At least 30 Americans have been killed in the deadly Hamas terror attacks.
That's Fox's Ryan Schmelz. House Republicans plan a vote for new speaker tomorrow after Steve Scalise fell short last week. It's Jim Jordan's turn. He has the backing of the speaker ousted 2 weeks ago, and Kevin McCarthy tells Fox,
I feel very good about where Jim Jordan is at. He has been an integral part of our team when we took the majority, helping us get the majority.
But some moderate Republicans may not support Jordan, who's a strong conservative. It's day 32 of the auto workers' strike, and Ford's executive chairman says it has to stop after it was expanded last week to include a Kentucky truck plant. Bill Ford warning the union it's hurting the economy, and Ford says Toyota, Honda, Tesla, and other automakers are loving this. America's listening to Fox News.
A whole generation knows little to nothing about our nation's darkest day, 9/11. The Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute launched to right this wrong by educating kids in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their nonfiction first-person accounts are told through videos and the Discovering Heroes book series. The Institute offers full curriculum units, a speakers bureau, a mobile exhibit that's an interactive museum with 9/11 artifacts, and Russell F. Siller Memorial Scholarships for kids of program recipients. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org.
At Consumer Cellular, you get the same exact coverage as the largest carriers, but for up to half the cost. Same thing, up to half the cost. Up to half the cost for the same thing. 50% the money for 100% the same thing. I hope I'm making myself clear. Consumer Cellular. When freedom calls, we're here to answer. Call us at 1-888-FREEDOM.
Half the cost savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single-line 5GB data plan with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single-line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plan offered by T-Mobile and Verizon.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters, and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
They call it white supremacist food. Back in 1 minute with your food chain question of the day.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1820. 855-325-1820. That's 855-325-1820.
A Washington State Cooperative Extension recently hosted a webinar titled Examining Whiteness in Food Systems. Attendees learned that white supremacy culture creates food insecurity by centering whiteness across the food system. The webinar's leader, Jennifer Zuckerman of the Duke World Food Policy Center, took particular aim at farmers' markets for being too white and for creating inviting spaces for white people. Zuckerman concluded, "What whiteness does is center whiteness." Question, do you think the food that is being sold at your local farmers market is or is not White supremacist food?
It is critical we keep AM radio in all cars and all trucks. Hey, Sean Hannity here. More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio. It is the backbone of the emergency alert system, and that keeps us safe in dangerous times, because when cell and internet services are down, AM radio might be your only lifeline. Now text AM to the number 52886. Tell Congress that we need AM radio in our cars. Text AM to 52886 today.
Standard message and data rates apply.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Welcome to another edition of Life, Death, and the Law. I'm Sean Garner. I'm in studio here with Adam Hanson and Cody Beeson. Welcome, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, a lot of things happening in the world today. I was mentioning to my wife the feeling that I've had the past couple of days since this attack on Israel. And it feels kind of like when it sunk into me that COVID was going to have a huge impact on our society, when my brother's dental office was shut down and I'm getting ready to go to work and I'm getting in my car and I look over and he's working in his yard. And that's when it hit me for the first time. This is real, because up until then, everybody was saying this is going to be big, this is going to be spread throughout the world. But we'd heard that about a lot of other things, and it didn't really, to me, affect how society ran and my everyday life. But COVID, I mean, it shut down his business, and he was very concerned, like, how is he going to provide for his family? And I thought it was only a matter of time before there was a mandate to shut down my law practice, or the law practice that Adam and I run. And so I was very concerned about that, waking up with this feeling of just heaviness on my heart about where our society was going in general, for two reasons. One, that the plagues prophesied in the Bible were starting to come to pass, and we're starting to see some pretty rough times ahead of us. And two, that the freedoms that we enjoy and oftentimes take for granted here in America, to own property and produce and participate in capitalism, which is the best form of government known to man, other than the family, that those were going to be taken away from us in short order, without a lot of pushback from the citizenship. So all of that weighed on my chest very heavily, and now for about the past 3 years, that is alleviated bit by bit until I feel like there's a sense of normalcy again. Of course, there's always the pre-COVID society that we lived in and the post-COVID, just like there was the pre-9/11 society that we lived in, where you could walk right up to the gate that, you know, you would get on the plane without any ticket, and now you got to go through phases of getting patted down by the TSA. Anyways, I don't want to digress too much. There's this heaviness that I feel about what's going on in the world, and it feels like this escalation that is occurring between Israel and the Palestinians, especially on the Gaza Strip particularly, but it's now escalating further and north to Lebanon, and also with Hezbollah in Palestine to the east of Israel.
From Lebanon, the north, yeah.
Yeah, Hezbollah. Lebanon in the north, and Hezbollah, which is, you know, the Palestinian form of government in Palestine to the east.
I would argue it's a terrorist organization, just like Hamas. So,
well, terrorist organizations are
commonly. They call themselves a political organization, but...
Well, terrorists can be political organizations.
Yeah, it's true. That's what they are.
What is Al-Qaeda?
Yeah, another terrorist organization, but political organization.
So, it feels like that, and it feels like there isn't going to be a return to normalcy after this. Like, the status quo has been broken and for good. I was listening to a newscast, and so this is where I kind of want to introduce some discussion points here and get your feedback on this. I was listening to a newscast, and it was particularly from India. And I like watching foreign source news channels because they seem to be less biased, have a broader coverage of the topics rather than focusing in on a single subject and then inserting just narratives and having editorials rather than reporting the news.
Yeah, good or bad. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I do the same thing. That's why I say that. Most of my news, I don't watch the daily news on a TV broadcast antenna.
Yeah.
I watch it on YouTube. I'll look up these foreign sources. Oftentimes I'll look at Spanish news in Spanish and British, you know, things, because I feel like I get a more authentic, non-biased opinion there.
Yeah, and it covers a broader scope that, and from an outsider's point of view. And so either way, this news source is called, it's WION, W-I-O-N.
Out of India.
Out of India, and it's a great source. But their perspective was that the strike that Israel is doing right now in Gaza is a little too heavy, and that it only marks the beginning, which Prime Minister Netanyahu uh-huh. Has promised this is the beginning. We're going to continue and continue and go until Hamas is totally rooted out and non-existent, which I understand. Her point was it needs to be commensurate with the attack that they received. So basically they should only attack the Palestinians to the extent that they were attacked. And I thought, well, that doesn't make sense at all in our form of justice. So let's put that into perspective here. Adam, if you had somebody steal from you, okay? Let's say they stole something. They held you up at a gas station, okay? And you had $100 in your wallet. And they stole that from you at gunpoint. Would you feel that you are made whole if you took them to court, the court found them guilty, and they were required to give that $100 back?
Probably not.
Right? So what would be a just punishment for somebody that by force takes that property from you or holds you hostage? It's not just the $100 or maybe – and perhaps you're only held hostage for 30 minutes. So what, should they spend 30 minutes in jail?
So there's a lot of issues that you're throwing out there. I mean, legally, as an attorney, I mean, there's all sorts of
I'm just saying,
as causes of action, you've got the emotional distress,
okay,
which is a causation that you can sue for, which gives you damages beyond what the $100 that you received. Mm-hmm. That's going to be in the eyes of the jury. How did that cause me to not be able to sleep at night? Am I constantly in fear every time I go gas up at the gas
station? Okay, so throw out all the civil litigation aspects of it. We're just talking criminal, and the purpose of criminal law is to prevent or even punish
punitive
criminals.
It's a punitive way to say to our society at large, if you do this, you will be punished heavily.
Yes, and so
as a deterrent.
So it's a deterrent. And if you just have reparations in the amount that they took, then it would never be a deterrent. Because if I'm going to go in and I'm going to consider, well, if I make out with $100, then great, I get the $100. If I don't, then I got to pay the $100 back. That's not going to ever be a deterrent. So when we look at these international policies of war where it says, well, you can only have retribution that is on the level of the harm that was received, that doesn't make sense at all. That's never going to be a deterrent for any country or any bad actor to do something bad. And so when Israel continues to do what they're doing, which is to level Gaza right now and to go in and make sure that it eradicates Hamas in general as a party and as a terrorist group, then I think that is the appropriate reaction. And I think that that's consistent with not only our justice system here in the United States, but the justice system throughout history of mankind.
I agree with that. I think maybe this reporter, she's appealing to what Israel would understand, which is the law of Moses, an eye for an eye. Maybe that's what she's trying to appeal to.
Right.
But I agree with you. I mean, it has to be swift. It has to be punitive in nature, such that it will send a message to any future individuals that have the idea of killing innocent people or waging war against Israel. That's what you what did we do? I mean, you look at Arizona, you look at the U.S. after 9/11, we did this exact same thing when we initiated the war on terror, air quotes. But we were swift. We were quick to go back and not just an eye for an eye, mm-hmm. but we needed to eradicate that. It's really a virus. It's a virus mentality of hate against another group of individuals.
Yeah, and I think that there were a lot of bad policies that came out of that eventually, like, for example, spying on American citizens and spying on people in general and also occupying countries for decades. That wasn't right. But the whole going into Afghanistan originally, I was in support of that because they looked at Afghanistan as a hot spot for terrorists.
Yeah. You know,
and so it's like, we got to go in there and we've got to establish that if there's going to be a terrorist attack that is generated from this country, that country is going to see some serious repercussions. And that party that is instigating it and advocating for it is going to be diminished far beyond the capacity that it had prior to the attacks. And so that's what we did. Now, the occupation of Afghanistan for the amount of years I didn't agree with, or at least I don't in retrospect. It was hard at that time for me to have an unbiased approach on that. But I now see that it was a lot of foreign policy for control in the Middle East and more for oil and other types of resources there.
Saudi Arabia, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's super complex. And if you've been paying attention to this or you've done a little bit of research, not even a little bit of research, you've really got to do some – I've spent probably 5 hours going through I wanted to understand this idea. What is this truly about? I don't know if you can ever like nail it down to one or two things, but I wanted to understand the history. I knew a brief history of the area just because I subscribed to the Bible, and so I know the Judeo-Christian beliefs and the history there. But I really didn't understand, well, when was this territory really taken over by a Muslim-type faction, you know? So I had to go back and do a little bit of research and do that over and over and over again so I can understand the history and the timeline of individuals that have been occupying that area for centuries, really, going back to the Ottomans.
Yeah, so what I take from this is not going to be short. It's going to be – what's going to happen is there's going to be outside Muslim countries, primarily Iran, that is going to –
They already have. They've already – I mean, they were already known to help
with
Hamas.
I mean, they were funding it with $100 million a year and outwardly saying they wanted those funds, and that was just the funds for it, and they were providing weapons as well, and they wanted those weapons to be used against Israel. There was no qualms about how Iran felt about Israel. They wanted the Zionist state and this Zionist mentality to be eradicated, and so it takes no leap at all to connect the two. It only is going to be a matter of time before Iran officially signs on, I believe, to support the war against Israel in general and tries to rally the support of other Muslim nations. And, of course, Saudi Arabia is a Muslim nation that was looking to normalize relationships with Israel and establish a more stable Middle Eastern area right there, and so they could have stable trade policies, and it was going to help everybody out. Everybody in the world, we're all affected by the Middle East. And it appears that Iran did not want that. And so soon after we released $6 billion in sanctions against Iran, that they turned around and supported, at least in some sense, this attack against Israel. And now the whole region is totally upside down, and that's going to affect the rest of us. So what do we do? I don't know, but what I can say from a personal perspective is that we have a tendency from just a human nature to look beyond the mark, and there was this great story that I heard from this. It's a general conference that I attend as part of my church, and it was from Dale Renlund, and he talked about two Egyptian explorers that joined forces. One was George Herbert, and the other one was Howard Carter. Now, Howard Carter was an archaeologist and well-famed for his ability and understanding to find artifacts in Egypt. And George Herbert was this earl from England that had wealth. And so in 1907, they joined forces, and Herbert funded Carter's expeditions to uncover all these artifacts. And in the 1920s, they received permission to excavate in the Valley of the Kings in Egypt, which was known to be one of the most robust and richest areas of artifacts there, and they were looking for King Tut's tomb. And so they set up their base camp there in the Valley of the Kings, and they're excavating. They excavate methodically all around for years doing this, and they haven't found what they're looking for. And so Herbert decides, you know what, we're going to call this off. Tried, we didn't find it. People have been looking for it for a long time. King Tut is 3,000 years old, so this is a long, long ago hidden treasure. And Carter convinces him, let's do it one more season. And so he acquiesces, and they decide to do it for one more season. And so Carter goes back to his maps and is looking and says, like, what haven't we done? He says, we excavated this entire valley right here. And he goes, the only part that we haven't excavated is our base camp. And then, boom, light bulb goes off. We've got to excavate under our base camp. Within days of excavating where they were camped, right under their feet, they found the entrance, the steps leading in to King Tut's tomb. And there was gold everywhere and artifacts that were, you know, beyond the worth of gold. And then ultimately they found King Tut's tomb and many more. It was deemed the greatest archaeological discovery of the 20th century. And this because they stopped, thought about it for a moment and said, where are we and where do we need to pay attention? And it was right where they were at. So where are we? Like, how do we contribute to this turmoil that the world is going through and that is marked specifically by these wars that are going on with Ukraine and Russia and Israel and Palestine? And I think it comes right back down to, well, what do we have in our homes that can bring peace and that can help us understand and make sense of what is going on today? We're going to come back to that. We have to take a break. This is Life, Death, and the Law.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, serving Arizona for over 20 years.
It is a big ridge of high pressure that has taken up residency over the western third of the country, and that's going to mean very warm weather for us today and very warm temperatures for us basically the rest of this week. 101, the high this afternoon. Tomorrow's just slightly cooler. A few clouds, 99 tomorrow. 100, the high Wednesday. 102, Thursday. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
Cars and Carts for all your golf cart sales, service, repairs, parts, and storage. Call them today for all your golf cart needs. 928-726-2286. Cars and Carts is the place to go for Evolution golf carts. They come fully loaded with bucket seats, lithium batteries, locally owned and operated. All new carts are street legal. Call 928-726-2286. Need to store your golf cart, repairs, or shopping for a new ride? Give Denny a call at 928-726-2286 or stop by Cars and Carts, 2899 South Sherry Avenue in Yuma.
Did you know there are resources out there to support every Arizona service member, veteran, and their family? The Be Connected program is available statewide at no cost. We're here to help you navigate the system and get connected to whatever resources you need. Call 866-4-AZ-VETS to talk directly to caring people professionally trained to help you. This message is brought to you by the Arizona Coalition for Military Families, the Arizona Department of Veteran Services, and Arizona's Be Connected partners.
Labor is a two-way street. First, it's earned. Second, it's paid. In the air conditioning business, it just went up 10% again. I tell my techs, let homeowners know about the York factory parts and labor warranties. An out-of-warranty AC part costs many times more than yesterday's AC parts did. Ask your AC tech about our York extended factory labor warranties.
Give Air Central a call or just log on to acyuma.com.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. We're talking about the turmoil that we find ourselves in the world right now. I've likened it to the days just after 9/11, how the world will never be the same after 9/11, and then the days after COVID with all the shutdowns, how the world's not the same. It's like we got this pre- and post-COVID world. And now we've got this pre- and post-COVID war between Israel and Palestine. And they've been at war many times, nine times in the recent decades, and have to defend each other against aggressions of the other. Now, of course, it depends on what side you look at. I take Israel's side, and I say that it's Hamas that is this terrorist state, and they are the aggressors, and Israel has stayed within its borders and has had a lot of progress in developing civilization and good relations within the neighborhood that they're in, with it, with all of the hatred that has been poised and directed at them. But people, they just hate Jews, especially, you know, they're in Iran. They're in Syria. They want to get rid of this Zionist state. They hate the idea that this is a God-given land to the Jews for their inheritance, and that it's divinely theirs. And so they want to get rid of the Jews. And the Jews are a vast, vast minority there. Yet they have brought more good to the world and the region at large than any other population, person per person. I mean, they're a very small population in comparison to their neighbors around them. But when you look at what was being developed in that area of the world prior to Israel being established as a nation in 47 and afterwards, that it has grown exponentially. The agriculture there, the technology there, just the ability to contribute to civilization in general. And so there is something there. They are God's chosen people. I believe that because it's in the Bible, and I believe the Bible, but I also believe it because I can see with my own eyes what's happening in society and how they contribute. But Adam, for you, in your home, what helps you make sense of all this and give you direction as to what to do and direct your family?
You alluded to it right there. I mean, the Bible, the scriptures that we have, my family subscribes to those. We read those daily. And we pray as a family. So it's this Judeo-Christian belief that we have that keeps us grounded and keeps our bearings. You know, I go to church every Sunday that I can make it, you know, if I'm not sick or something like that. But my family goes to church, and that's helping me as an individual keep a perspective as to these world events and when things like this happen. Putting it into perspective, you're going to align it with those historical records that we know of. You can argue all day long whether or not Jesus is the Christ or whether there is a God. The only thing we really have to rely on is verifiable is written records. And those written records are contained in the modern Bible. I mean, you can say all you want about, oh, it didn't happen or it did happen. Well, those are journal records of what actually happened from the beginning of time. And you don't have any evidence to the contrary.
I think not only are you right, but Jordan Peterson put it so succinctly that it kind of gave me an epiphany. He said, not only is the Bible truth, the Bible defines truth. Because civilization developed worldwide with the printing and reading of the Bible. We measure what is right and wrong by what's taught in the Bible. We communicate with other people. More languages have been learned by comparing different versions of the Bible, like, you know, the German version to the English version, and then people can learn German or English because they compare those two versions. The book has been printed in more languages than any other book, and it's been published and distributed to more people than any other book, and I don't think there's any coincidence about that. God wants his word to get out there to the world, and he wants that to be done. Now it's upon us to take it and read it. So how often do we read it? You know, just yesterday I was driving home, and there was an ambulance. I was bringing my daughter and a couple of her friends home from a boat trip, and there was an ambulance that was driving in front of us, and on the back of an ambulance was a staff with a serpent wrapped around it. And so I asked, does anybody know why they have a staff with a serpent? You know, that seems kind of contradictory. You know, snakes usually cause injuries. And it goes back to the biblical story where the Israelites, after they were liberated from Egypt, they're going through the desert, and they're going through a rebellious stage, and so God sent fiery serpents, they were snakes, to bite them, but he also gave Moses instruction to create a brass serpent and to put it on his rod and hold it up, and anybody that would just cast their eyes upon the rod and the serpent, that brass serpent on the rod, would be healed. That's all they had to do, was cast their eyes. But because it was so easy, many of them perished, many of them died, and they wouldn't do it. And we use that now as a symbol of health and healing, the serpent, the brass serpent on a staff. But how many of us drive by those ambulances and have no clue? That's what it is. And it's the same thing with the Bible that I hope everybody has in their home that just sits there, but we don't open it and read it.
You go back to truth. We live in a day now where truth is being flipped upside down, I would say. And not only that, this was predicted, going back to the Bible, it was predicted in the Bible. Truth would be flipped upside down. And so we can look to the Bible as our guideline, but getting back to the truthfulness of it, I like to compare it to what we do as attorneys. If I go into a courtroom and you put one person on the stand and ask them questions to verify something as a witness, that's okay, you know, but it's that person's opinion, that person's account of what they thought they saw. When you add another person to that verifies what that person saw in their own words, or you add another person to that, and now you have a team of witnesses all verifying what happened, what event happened, it just adds to the truthfulness of that event. And that's how I see the Bible. It's one witness after another of what's actually happened in our world's history. And to contradict that or to not acknowledge that would be very naive, I would argue. And even if you don't believe the Christianity type way or the Jewish faith, you have to recognize that the Bible, historically, just from a historicity point of view, contains our world history from multiple different viewpoints and witnesses, which would attest to its truthfulness. Otherwise, you have nothing to go off of. It's conjecture. And that's what we often see nowadays. We're rewriting history, be it how Columbus arrived in America and what he did when he got here, or how World War II was started or ended. So we have the luxury of looking back and throwing out theories, but those are all just conjecture. unless you can go to a written record. That's the most verifiable source, is a written witness of history, and that's what the Bible contains in my mind. So going back to your original question, that is what's under our feet as a family, that we keep going back to align ourselves and keep us in check if we're straying from archaeological site, like you brought up in that story, then we need to dig deeper into that source of truth.
And look where we are right now. What do we have? Like, does God exist? And I think the answer has got to be yes. Otherwise, boy, you're a cynical person. And this life is bleak, and anything that happens to you could be catastrophic. And if he does, then most likely he cares about us. And if he cares about us, then he's going to give us a way to understand what we need to do to feel that care and to act. And there it is. The Bible is spread out farther and wider than any other book, and it's there. It's under our feet.
Yeah, absolutely. So what does that mean in the context of what we're seeing over in the Middle East? I don't see, you know, I was talking to Sean before the show about the research that I've done, and through my research, and I hate to sound pessimistic, I've never really taken an interest in this conflict before between Israel and the Palestinians. I really haven't, because it seems to me all through my lifetime this has been happening. Like Sean said, it's been 9 times that they've been going back and forth. But for some reason, this one that happened a couple Saturdays ago, this attack was different. I don't know why, but I felt something inside of me tell me this is different, and it's not good. This is not going to find a resolution. So I wanted to know more about that. I hadn't taken interest in the area or the conflict and what is this really about before, but I've spent hours researching the history there, and not that that's not to say that I understand everything and the complexities of what's going on. I think there's a lot of different issues, but it helps me give me perspective as to where I need to align myself and what I think we as a nation should do in aiding Israel in their fight for freedom. We spent so much energy and time and money with Ukraine, but it doesn't feel like we're doing the same for Israel, when Israel is actually our ally, and we have aligned ourselves with them for decades since their creation. And yet I feel like we're not quick to respond with them. And I don't understand that, because the world is collapsing around them. They are not they're surrounded by enemies. I mean, that's the reality. We give it, you got Lebanon and Hezbollah that's already been attacking and doing damage from the north. You've got the Gaza Strip, the Palestinians getting aid from Iran to invade and wreak havoc in the south.
But the fact that this was predicted, this was prophesied of in the Bible, the fact that God knew about it and still says, be of good cheer. It's a commandment, be of good cheer. So he knows that there's going to be wars, and there's going to be famine, and there's going to be pestilence. But he says, be of good cheer. So what that says to me is, although I can't resolve the disputes that are occurring in the world, whether they're in my own life, I mean, to a certain extent, with regard to, you know, political fractioning and what's going on in our country with the divisiveness that's going here, or whether it's across the world in actual wars and bloodshed, I can still be of good cheer knowing that God still exists, he's still in control, and if I just turn my will over to him, continue to be obedient, then I can find peace in that. And it's not what happens to me and my family, it's how I react and how committed I am to God, and following his will determine my level of happiness. And so I have to acknowledge that I'm not in control. The only thing that I'm in control of is my agency of how I actually treat my family and those directly around me in light of all of the horrific things that are going on.
And it's easy to talk about, but if you were a Palestinian or an Israeli that just lost their child because of this violence, it becomes a little bit more hitting at home. And so
I'm not preaching appeasement. I'm not saying that just because you need to be a peacemaker, that means that you let people trample over you and kill your family. No, no, no. I'm just saying, here in America, what do we do as an individual citizen? I think we support the cause of right. But then in our families, we got to anchor in and build a foundation on stone, and that is Christ.
So when you say support the nations of right. You're saying Israel is the right one in this war.
Absolutely. And from a political standpoint, so I was being non-political in that sense and just saying from a very individual perspective, what do we do in order to have peace in times of turmoil? And that is to acknowledge that God exists, and as long as we follow him, we can have a sense of inner peace. Like, for example, I can be out in the wilderness, and I can be, you know, hungry and tired and thirsty and exhausted, but happy. And all those things don't seem to go together, right? Happiness seems to go with luxury and being full and being pampered. But we know that that's not reality. When we work hard to achieve something, when we have conflict in our life and we seek peaceful or peace in our own heart, then we can achieve a level of happiness despite the storms that are raging around us. And so I think that we need to have a righteous indignation for evil and fight against it with all the weapons that we have at our disposal. But we also need to, within our own families, understand that we can still have happiness. We don't have to wait for this war to be over to have happiness. We can have happiness right now and fight against evil.
We have to go to break. This is Life, Death, and Law. We'll be right back.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Just in, strange things are happening. Bobby Combs RV Centers is having an RV factory invoice sale, and the deals are hotter than the summer sun. Imagine owning the RV of your dreams without the markups. From compact campers to spacious destination trailers, you'll pay what we paid. That's right! You get to pay what we paid on every 2022 model and select 2023 models in our inventory. Don't miss this limited time opportunity. Visit us today and drive off with your dream RV at a price you won't believe. Right now at Bobby Combs RV Centers, 4710 East 32nd Street. What deal so hot? They sizzle! We that's hot!
In tough times, it can be difficult to know where to turn. If you or someone you know is looking for help, the Yuma Community Food Bank is here if you need a hand. We provide food and other resources to families, seniors, and individuals in need. We are open Monday through Friday. All you need to receive a food box is a photo ID with your current address. Visit our website at yumafoodbank.org for more information. The Yuma Community Food Bank also accepts donations in the form of non-perishable food, monetary donations, and volunteer help. You can choose to donate or advocate. You can choose to volunteer or raise awareness. You can choose to help end hunger. Call us anytime, 928-343-1243. Visit our main campus, located at 2404 East 24th Street, or use our food locator map online at yumafoodbank.org.
All right, do-it-yourselfer. You've got the idea, and you got your building supplies at Southwest Lumber.
That's right.
Now, all you need is a bunch of expensive tools to get the job done.
Oh, that's right.
And you know just the place to rent them. Southwest Lumber, your home for everything home improvement. Southwest Lumber has half-day to multiple-day rentals available on just about anything you need to finish the job. Rent equipment and tools on Saturday and Sunday. It's free. Stop in today at 1917 South Avenue B in Yuma. Southwest Lumber, ready for everything.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hansen, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. We're being very philosophical and religious today on the show. So if you're with us, then that's great. But I want to talk a little bit about not only how accurate the Bible is, that it is the standard for truthfulness, but give you an example of it. So in Paul's epistle to Timothy, he wrote this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people, was his admonition. You look at our institutions today. You look at our universities. You look at all these billboards that you go by and it says, you do you. That is a direct fulfillment of these prophecies, that people will be so self-absorbed, lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure more than God, disobedient to parents. This whole idea that schools can embrace a child's mental disorder, that they are born in the wrong body and withhold that from the parents. That's not only the children being disobedient to the parents, it's being embraced by the society in general. And all of those are so us today. That is us. That defines our society. And if you take a book that was written 2,000 years ago and it defines our society to a T, if you just take a bigger perspective, let's say that there was this great archaeological find, okay? And I think people would be more apt to believe it if they had some type of link to aliens or something, right? They found that there was something that was extraterrestrial, and they found in this thing that there was all these writings, and we were able to interpret those writings, and those writings described our society to a T, and then described how we could have peacefulness and happiness. I think individuals would flock to that. I think that the population would flock to that. The mainstream media would flock to that. The irony is that we have it. It's our base camp. It is underneath our feet. It just, because it's existed so long, we take it for granted. And it is extraterrestrial. It does not, this is not written from man. This is written inspiration from God that was prophecy of what was going to happen in our day. But it's kind of like, well, that's not very new and exciting. So let's just go on to something else that's funner to talk about. Well, it's reality. We are experiencing it. And so if we first of all recognize where we are in reality, hopefully we can recognize the solution to help us become happy and successful. And I say that in a broader sense of the sense successful, not just by money, but by happiness and having well-rounded children that go on to be productive members of society. So, Adam, what's your take on all that?
No, I totally agree with you. I think we as families just need to get ourselves anchored in something that is truth. And we pride ourselves in this nation as purveyors of freedom, right? And that one of the tenets that we base our society on here in the United States is the freedom to exercise your religion. And judicially, over the course of our history, that's been interpreted to mean I can exercise my religion or my beliefs so long as I don't cause harm to you or anybody else around me. But that is a good standard, I believe, because if you look at Israel and Palestine, it's a difference of mentality. Palestine or Hamas or Hezbollah, whoever those actors might be, they have written in their creed the destruction of all those that don't believe the way that they do.
Yeah, and that's
specifically Jews.
A Zionist state and a Zionist way of living.
So in your creed of creation, in this is in the case of Hamas, in your creed says that you must annihilate the Jews and kill them on sight. I don't see a good solution for the Jewish people or Israel in coming to an agreement with that type of mentality. There is no agreement you can really come
right
to other than we can suppress you for a time over and over and over again, but there's going to be a point where that just explodes, and well, I think we're seeing that.
To bring it closer to home, just imagine yourself that you're in this neighborhood and there's this gang in the neighborhood that keeps terrorizing houses. You never know which house it's going to be. You never know what night it's going to be. And sometimes they'll just break in and steal jewelry. And other times they'll break in and kidnap a child or kill somebody. It's like, well, what do we do with this gang? Do we go and meet them and try to be diplomatic with them? Right? They're a gang. They don't think rationally. They're monsters. Humans have the ability to become monstrous, even though that we have a form of godliness. We need to exercise that. We need to actually aspire to it. And some people, they choose not to. They choose to suppress it and become devils and persecute people. And so when you've got this gang, what's the only option? I mean, Cody, what would be your only option?
I mean, you have to fight force with force.
And eradicate that mentality.
You got to get rid of the gang.
Yeah.
Right? You got to eliminate the gang. At least take out all the leaders and help the others believe and actually reform to a peaceful way of life. And if they outwardly accept that peaceful way of life, then so be it. But if they're never going to accept that peaceful way of life and become productive on their own by their own means, they're only going to live off of what they steal and what they plunder from you, well, then that's never going to be something that can be a harmonious relationship.
Exactly right. And, I mean, as you're talking, I'm thinking it's all about – this is kind of like a virus mentality that is – you have Hamas or the Palestinian people that they truly believe that Israel is – a civilization that needs to be eradicated. That's what they believe. And that's deep in their core.
It's been there for even, thousands of years.
Even taking out the leaders, I don't see a way of getting that out of a people without their true eradication, which is sad to say because now you're saying, well, we're going to annihilate you. Well, that was what they said the whole time about them. So the Palestinians have always been like, no, our goal is to eradicate you. But now the only solution really is for Israel to eradicate the Palestine. So now you're playing their own game, and it's like, where can we come to a truce somehow? I don't see a truce happening that wouldn't always end in you've got these individuals that are left behind that always will always hate, you know, that other party or that other group of people, and you can't get rid of that without true annihilation and eradication and starting over. And that's what happened over the course of history. I mean, that's what true conquerors do. When you go into an area, you have to conquer, you have to rebuild on top of their stuff. You would knock down the church and you build a Muslim mosque on top of it. Then the Catholics would come back, knock that down, put another church up. So you're always eradicating a culture that existed. That's historically what you have to do to move forward with a culture. We're just living it now, and we're not really used to seeing that. We see it in the history books throughout centuries of time where you have Assyrians coming in this area. You have the Ottomans coming into this area up until World War II when the British and the French aligned with the with the Arabs to eradicate the Ottomans, and then they just don't give the area back. And I think that's the real rub for these individuals. You could call them Arabs or the Muslim countries over there, they feel like their land was taken from them, and it kind of was. I mean, the UN decided, hey, we're going to create these two nations, and year one, Palestine, and year one, Israel, and, oh, we're going to give Israel to these people, and we're going to give Palestine to you people, and you just have to be okay with that. So I think that's the real rub for the Palestinians is we never agreed to that. It was thrust upon us, and we're going to hate Western world for the rest of our lives because of it. And we're going to teach our kids to hate them. And we're going to teach generations to come to hate them. They are the true evil. They took our lands, and we want them back.
Well, so I know we've got to go, but kind of a parting comment that I want to leave the audience with is that Jesus taught one of the great truths is, by their fruits you shall know them. Okay, there's going to be a lot of people, a lot of wolves dressed in sheep's clothing that are among you, a lot of false prophets. How do you know? Because there are many people that have a mastery of languages, and they can articulate things that seem right and feel good or they cater to human tendencies and ambitions. And how do you really know whether they're good or not? Well, you look at their fruits. You look at their works. You look at what they contribute. The Jewish population is 0.2% of the population of the earth. 0.2%. Yet look at the contributions that they've made to society. They are God's chosen people. They have a right to exist, as anybody does. But not only that, God has favored them and enabled them to not only survive but thrive when they are surrounded by enemies and people that want to annihilate them. And if you look through the history of the Jews, there's rarely a period of time that spans more than 20 years where there isn't an overwhelming majority that is trying to exterminate them, not suppress them, not conquer them, exterminate them. Yet they've survived. That means something. And so I think that's a good reason that America supports them, because we want to be on God's side. And to be on God's side, you need to be on God's people's side. So I'm going to leave the audience with that, and we'll talk to you next week. This is Life, Death, and Law.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
How soon could you regain the perfect smile? One day? At Full Arch Dentistry in Okodonis with All On 4 treatment, you can permanently replace missing or failing teeth and have teeth in one day. Full Arch Dental is your smile specialist, and you'll be smiling for sure when you realize it's less than half the price of the U.S. or Canada. Call Full Arch Dentistry today at 928-327-1337. 928-327-1337. Or Google us, Full Arch Dentistry, your smile specialists.
Adults are burdening the nation's youth with doomerism. Back in 1 minute with your politics question of the day.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, you may qualify for a free continuous glucose monitor system. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM systems can automatically manage your diabetes better for you. And by using a CGM system, you can eliminate forever one thing most people with diabetes hate the most: finger sticks. Now is possible to manage your diabetes better, end the painful finger sticks, and get a new CGM monitoring system at little or no cost to you. We even provide in-home delivery and do all the insurance paperwork for you. Now is the best time to manage your diabetes better and get your continuous glucose monitor. Call now for details. Call 800-438-1391, 800-438-1391. 800-438-1391. That's 800-438-1391.
Toxic political rhetoric is contributing to high rates of anxiety and depression in Gen Zers. This according to a recent report from Vox co-founder Matthew Iglesias. He contends that adults are instilling the philosophy of doomerism in our younger generations. Campus Reform reports that in response to this rise in doomerism, college campuses have had to employ campus speech bills to protect students' rights to engage in civil rhetoric, putting a limit on the doomers. Question: which political party do you think is most responsible for doomerizing Gen Zers? Democrats or Republicans?
Arizona offers thousands of helpful resources for service members, veterans, and their families, but navigating the system can be confusing and overwhelming. Call 866-4AZ-VETS to talk directly to caring people professionally trained to help you. Get connected to resources and benefits at no cost. Just call 866-4AZ-VETS now. This message is brought to you by the Arizona Coalition for Military Families, the Arizona Department of Veteran Services, and Arizona's Be Connected partners.
Did you know if you're an adult living with asthma or COPD, getting sick with pertussis may result in severe complications? Pertussis, or whooping cough, is a serious respiratory illness. Vaccination is the best way to help protect against pertussis. Speak to your healthcare provider to ensure you are up to date on your Tdap vaccination. Learn more at lung.org.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.